Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information in Computer Science, Unit 3, which is entitled Computer Hardware and Architecture. A key element in understanding the field of information and computer science is knowing how a computer functions and how data is represented in memory. Along those lines, we need to understand the various input and output devices used, how these devices connect to the computer, and the CPU and its role in making the whole computer system function. We will explore all of these topics in Unit 3 and provide you with the foundation of how computers function. The objectives for this unit are to list the major elements of a computer, such as the motherboard, the CPU, input-output devices, memory, secondary storage, buses, expansion cards, ports, and so on. Describe how data is stored in memory and in secondary storage. Describe how data is represented in binary. Describe the function of the CPU. Describe how data is input and output from a computer. Describe how a computer system works together. And introduce specialized architectures and embedded systems used in healthcare systems. We begin our discussion by defining what a computer is. A computer is an electronic device that receives input and then produces output that is useful to people or devices. For example, it can be something as simple as pressing the letter A on your keyboard and then looking at your monitor and seeing the output of the letter A in a Word document or another program that you are running. A computer is comprised of hardware and software. For example, the physical device that is your monitor represents hardware. Your monitor connects to the back of your computer via a cable to a port. Your monitor needs software to tell it how to work with the rest of the computer system. All devices, all hardware, need software to be able to function. A computer executes instructions found in software programs. A software program is a language that a computer understands that contains logical steps to perform a function. If there is no software, then the computer really has no idea what to do. Computers understand only binary numbers. A binary number is represented as a burst of electricity, on or one, or a lack of electricity, off or zero. A string of ones and zeros represents binary values that the computer can understand. All data input into a computer is translated into a binary value. Output is generally translated from a binary value to a code understood by users, which are generally people or an output device. Output is then sent from one computer to another in binary format. For example, when you press the letter A on your keyboard, a number of electronic signals are sent from the keyboard to the CPU. The software that runs your keyboard knows how to interpret that signal so that the CPU can understand it. Then, after the CPU and operating system perform some operation, the keyboard letter that you pressed, in this case the A, is displayed on your screen as output. Computer hardware consists of system components, storage devices, input devices, and output devices. We will look at these in detail as we examine each component. The motherboard is made of circuitry, chips, and thousands, or perhaps millions, of thin copper wires. If you look at a motherboard using a magnifying glass, you will see the individual components of thousands of wires that appear to be just one big piece of copper on the motherboard. The central processing unit is known as the CPU. The CPU is the brain of the computer and is responsible for all operations. The CPU has its own memory, called Synchronous Dynamic RAM, also known as SDRAM. SDRAM serves as a work area for the CPU. Today's computers have multiple processors on the motherboard, which are referred to as cores. This slide displays an image of a modern motherboard. If you start in the top middle, you will see the processor enclosure. The processor is installed on the top of the white socket inside the yellow enclosure on the motherboard. Next, we locate the RAM, random access memory slots, which are the backslots to the right of the CPU enclosure. RAM modules are installed on the motherboard in one or both of the slots shown. Some motherboards offer more than two RAM slots. To the right of the RAM slots, we have the power supply installation port. Below that, we find the motherboard's IDE ports, in which we install the cables that connect the hard drives to the motherboard. Finally, at the bottom center of the motherboard, we find three peripheral component interfaces, or PCI slots. PCI slots are where we install the video card, sound card, network interface card, and so on. Chips on the motherboard, which look like small buildings from our vantage point, represent computer programming instructions and/or functionality built into the motherboard. Motherboard ports are expansion ports. You find these on the rear panel of your computer. Sometimes you will see them on the top or even on the front of the computer's case. These serve as an interface between the computer and an external device. For example, a mouse usually connects to a PS2 port, and this port is usually colored green. Most of today's mouse devices connect using a USB port. Some expansion ports permit device connection while the computer is running and are referred to as hot swappable ports. Therefore, if you connect a device to your computer using a non-hot swappable port, for example the green port for the mouse, you may short out your motherboard. This means that if the computer is running and you try to connect a mouse to a PS2 port, the operating system will not recognize the mouse. You need to reboot the computer so that the mouse and its software can be installed. Motherboard ports are also expansion cards that plug directly into the motherboard. PCI slots hold expansion cards. An example of an expansion card is a network interface card, or a NIC. PCI standards and architecture provide functionality and to make all of the devices and operating systems function well together. The International Telecommunication Union, ITU, Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, IEEE, and other organizations publish standards to which hardware manufacturers comply. When different devices and different operating systems work together, we refer to this as interoperability. In other words, all hardware made by all manufacturers would work with a Microsoft Windows or Apple operating system. PCI Express, which is also referred to as PCIe with a small e, replaces the PCIX and the AGP standards found in recent but not newer computer systems. An example of a proprietary software issue revolves around modems. In 1996, Rockwell introduced its proprietary K56 Flex hardware and software standard. This standard governed how its modems connected to an ISP's modems and to modems from other manufacturers. Previously, U.S. Robotics manufactured its modems to its existing X2 standard. Notice that we mentioned two standards, K56 Flex and X2. Each manufacturer of a standard applied that standard to its equipment. Since there was no global standard, each standard differed from the others, so that if you had a K56 Flex modem at home and your ISP and/or workspace used an X2 standard-based modem, neither modem could connect to the other, which meant the modems could not communicate with each other via dial-up or via fax. This forced people and organizations to buy modems from only one manufacturer if they wanted the modems to be able to communicate with each other. You can imagine that the impact on pricing was not favorable to consumers. Finally, the ITU, or International Telecommunication Union, which sets standards for telecommunications, intervened, and the companies worked to create the V-series of standards for modern communications. The original V.90 standard was a huge success. The manufacturers created a software upgrade for their modems to reflect the new standard, and finally modems gained the ability to communicate with each other. The current modem standard is V.92. A Wikipedia link is shown in the slide notes if you would like to view more information relating to the V-series. Let's move on to the topic of motherboard buses. Buses are copper wires on a motherboard that connect motherboard devices for communications purposes. A motherboard has a number of buses, but we will focus on its three main buses. We start with the address bus, which is where the destination address is placed for a specific electronic communication. The control bus is where timing and specific commands are placed. Finally, we have the data bus, which is where the actual data is placed. For example, documents sent to the printer travel along the data bus. Let's walk through an example. If a device requests data be saved to the hard disk, the save command is placed on the control bus. The actual data to be saved is placed on the data bus, and the physical address on the hard disk is placed on the address bus. The mouse, keyboard, monitor, and printer are all examples of computer devices. A computer device is hardware that is not part of the computer case or installed inside the computer. Input devices provide data and control settings to a computer, for example, key presses on a keyboard, sound on a microphone, and movement of the mouse. Output devices communicate data processing done by a computer to the world outside the computer. Examples include the monitor, a printer, headphone, and speakers. In addition to input and output devices, some devices are standalone pieces of hardware. Examples include computers, routers that manage access to networks, digital cameras, cell phones, and handheld equipment. Devices usually connect to the computer via a port, but can also connect wirelessly. An example is a wireless printer. Devices can also connect to the computer via an expansion card. An example of an expansion card, as previously mentioned, is a NIC that connects to a PCI port on the motherboard. Devices communicate by sending and/or receiving electronic signals that are translated to binary. Binary is a language that can be understood by the CPU. The next slide will examine some common input devices. A keyboard is an input device. Keystrokes are interpreted by software into some type of symbol or symbols. For example, the capital letter A typed into a word processing document is sent electronically from the keyboard in binary code to the motherboard. A capital letter A in binary is made up of 8 distinct binary digits, or bits, viewed as one logical unit. The capital letter A in binary is 01000001. After the computer operates on the binary code received as input, the capital letter A is output on the monitor in an alphabetic format that we understand. A mouse is a pointing device that functions by detecting motion using an X and Y coordinate system relative to its point of origin on some type of a surface. When you move your mouse on a surface, the mouse software is able to calculate its location at all times. Sound devices include CD and DVD players, as well as microphones. Some laptops have small pads on which you can use your finger to move the mouse. Touchpads are found on most modern laptops. This surface is pressure sensitive and is able to detect finger movement and then translate this as mouse movement using XY coordinates. Other common input devices include game joysticks, fingerprint readers, cameras, barcode readers, and so on. One device you may encounter as an informatician is the CT, or computerized tomography scanner. A CT scan is a diagnostic procedure that uses special X-ray equipment, the scanner, to obtain cross-sectional pictures of the body. The image shown on this slide displays a Philips 64 slice, or Brilliant scanner. You may also encounter a PET scanner. PET is the positron emission tomography scan. This type of a scan represents a nuclear medicine imaging technique, which produces a three-dimensional image or picture of functional processes in the body. The image on the screen displays a GE Discovery D600 PET CT system with a 16-slice system built in 2009. Another device utilizes sound waves. This technology is known as ultrasonography, where sound waves are utilized to produce an image. In the image on this slide, there are a number of input devices utilized through device ports. The software recognizes the input and then outputs it on the screen. Echoes are received as input from a sonographic probe and then translated into pixels for creation of an image. Another fascinating input device is an MRI, or magnetic resonance image. To use this type of equipment, a body is placed in a magnetic field and then flooded with a radio frequency pulse that produces an image of the body's interior structure. The image shown on this slide represents the output of an MRI scan of the human head. Now let's turn our attention to output devices. A monitor is a display device that can show computer input and output on the screen. A printer is a device that usually produces a paper copy based on an electronic document. We should note here that printers can also produce electronic copies by scanning and creating an electronic image of a paper document. A printer usually connects to the motherboard via a USB, parallel, or some other type of port, depending on the device. A flash drive is a secondary storage device that connects to the computer via a USB port. Flash drives are also known as jump drives and pocket drives. Speakers are hardware devices connected to a sound card installed on the motherboard in some type of a port. Note that an onboard speaker does not connect to a sound card, since sound card functionality is already part of a motherboard circuitry. An output device that also acts as an input device is sonographic equipment. These types of devices produce images based on sound waves received. The image on this slide shows output from a sonograph, an ultrasound image as a 3D image on the screen. Another output device that also acts as an input device is the electrocardiography, or EKG, machine. The EKG machine provides an interpretation of the electrical activity of a heart over time, captured and externally recorded by skin electrodes. Skin electrodes are the input devices. The EKG procedure is a non-invasive recording produced by an electrocardiographic device, as shown here on the slide. This image displays a 12-lead EKG of a 26-year-old male. Another important output device is a voice synthesizer, which produces sound based on text input. You are probably familiar with Stephen Hawking's synthesized voice. His voice is known throughout the world, although he lost his ability to speak in 1985. If you would like to learn about his challenges, as well as his thoughts regarding suggestions that he change his voice, find the link to his Wikipedia page in the slide notes for this slide. Other common output devices include projectors, scanners, and fax machines.